Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Crickets to Cha-Chings podcast. I'm Julie Berninger from Gold City Ventures, and I have a fun episode for you today because I have two special guests. The first is my co-host and business partner, Sasha Hutchison. Sasha, can you kick it off by introducing yourself first, and then we'll introduce the surprise guest.
Oh, yes. I am a top 1% seller on Etsy in the digital product space. I love entrepreneurialism. I help other business owners grow and be more successful in their own business. And I love learning about other business owners and how they've achieved success with their businesses.
Well, thanks for coming today. And for those of you that don't know, Sasha is so inspiring. Her story is incredible. She's been doing this for, I think, almost 5 years now. She left her accountant job and she was in an RV with her family and then just built this six-figure business for herself coming out of being an Etsy seller. So someone that we all can learn from, and super pumped to have her as co-host today. And also we have the incredible Amber. So Amber, why don't you introduce yourself to everyone and thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. My name's Amber. I live in Florida. I am a maker at heart. I've been making things forever. I started my little side hustle in 2019 where I started making jewelry, and that's kind of been the road I've been on. I love to make things, but as I started getting into some boutique spaces and things like that, I've had to expand my line a little bit, and I like to bring in jewelry that I can't make, or perhaps like clothing, hats, things like that. So a little bit more on the accessories and hair accessory side now as well.
Cool. Well, I love it. And selfishly, we had a bunch of people apply to beta test our new program that we're launching called Beyond, which will help people learn to sell off Etsy. And when I came across your shop, I loved all this stuff. I'm like, I want to buy half this stuff. This is amazing. And I just feel like there's so much that you could do here with this. And I'm just like really curious about you. So I want to start with how you got into selling jewelry. Like specifically in this type of jewelry. So tell everyone like what type of stuff you make too.
Yeah, sure. So I do love to work with gemstones and shells and pearls and that kind of like more of a natural look. I would say my style is a little bit more like modern boho kind of feel, celestial. I love all that kind of stuff. I love crystals and things like that. So that's kind of always where I started and where I saw myself going. But what happened was I was always looking for a side hustle gig, as most of us are, like looking for side money to come in. And I was working my full-time job. And I was trying to sell everyone else's product and it just was not working. So if you've ever tried to sell something and you're getting like a 20% split or something like that, it's just not a lot of room to, you know, really make your mark. So tried every MLM on the planet, nothing worked. And then one day, you know, I've always been a crafter. I've always made things. I'd made jewelry in high school actually as well. So I was in Michael's one day, like just hoarding on craft supplies as I always do. And I was like, I'm going to make some jewelry. And I had already done some markets and things, obviously, because, you know, when you're trying to sell things, you try to pop up and do as much as you possibly can. So I made some jewelry. I did some pop-ups and I was like, wow, this is actually working. And I just kept growing. And that was in 2019. So I've been doing it for about 5 years now. And I love it. I'm at the point where I might be able to not be working full time and trying to do this more on my own, but I, you know, just keeping the growth and like just the confidence in myself to do that. That's kind of like where I'm at right now. So I'm kind of just at that crossing point, and I hope everything I'm learning from you guys will help me get there too.
Well, we're definitely excited for you. I think we've both been there and leaving our day jobs to ultimately work online. I worked day job plus endeavors together for a very long time before I ultimately kind of took the plunge.
Right.
The pandemic accelerated that, I think, for both of us, right, Sasha?
Yeah. I was, the daycares couldn't operate in Texas legally. And that's when I didn't have a job anymore.
It was like, okay, it's time to make it happen. I lasted another year and then I was so burnt out. I'm like, I can't do both anymore.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Nobody kids.
Yes. Just,
you feel like you spend 30 minutes with them a day and you know, right. You're going, there's more to life than this.
For sure. Right. But so in terms of why I wanted to ask you about what niche you would say you're in is because Sasha and I are data geeks. So I know she probably did this too. We reviewed your shop and I used some of my tools. I used Everbee and I kept seeing keywords pop up like witchy gifts or like gifts for more people who are leaning in more like spiritual crystals, that kind of thing. So I wanted to know, did you stumble into that because you knew that that was a big trend on Etsy, or are you living that life too? And actually, like, you could lean even more into that in sort of building your brand off Etsy.
So yeah, I definitely have always loved crystals and metaphysical things. So that was kind of the route I saw myself taking. I do feel like I have a certain aesthetic or vibe that I'm going for. Last year I went like pearl and shell crazy. So that's where I kind of started getting into some of those more like wood and natural things as well. But my love and my draw is definitely for the crystals and things like that. I would say, you know, I have tried like courses and like keywords and people helping me with like how I should tag. So that's kind of where some of that influence came from. But I would say that me not knowing, I would love Etsy to be a bigger platform for me, but right now it's probably not my top platform. So I really don't know how to use it and utilize it as well as I probably should. And I'd love to grow that. But yeah, it was just kind of words I thought worked and that I went after. So that's kind of how I got there.
Yeah, so you have a selenite and chakra crystal wrapped with, you know, the chakra colors, the rainbow colors around the crystal. And I always like to look at what sold immediately after the holidays. So Christmas was a big one. And there's someone I coach who sells print on demand chakra stuff. And she sold hardly any ornament. She had done that on an ornament. The ones that sold the most was the products like your selenite and chakra wire wrap gemstone. If you had done like chakra ornament or chakra ornament gift, maybe you could definitely have a good Christmas push on your product lines. I think that would be something that would sell really well. I saw that those were selling like crazy in the ornament space because that really appeals to a specific kind of buyer. Like I would buy that.
Yeah, and I think Sasha and I are coming from the seasonal approach to thinking of how shoppers use Etsy gifting and also buying things from themselves to help celebrate the seasons. So we look a couple months ahead to every holiday or occasion or event and just try to see how whatever we're doing can fit into that. So definitely applying a gifting and seasonal lens could be an avenue that you look into. One question I did have, though, and this is more us coming from digital product, you being a maker and a handmade seller. When something sells really well for you, are you kind of like done with it? Or why don't you have more inventory? Like, for example, you had a bracelet, the selenite bracelet that is out of inventory, but seems like people loved it. It was such a hit. So what's going on? Why is that not there?
There's more coming. But yeah, I sell like I have two things that I know sell off Etsy every single time. And it's that cuff bracelet and the selenite earrings. So I am trying to get more stock on those and things like that. It's just I just ran out. It's literally probably the only thing I sell off Etsy. That's two things. So for me, I think having the quantity there would for sure help as well.
Yeah. So tell us more. I mean, just not being handmade seller, like there's some challenges with even, let's say that even if you apply the seasonal focus or you apply these keywords, if you get 1,000 orders, like that is very difficult to fulfill. So like, can you explain more? I mean, I know you mentioned like, I'm not an expert in this. We're not asking you to be an expert.
Right.
But like, how does this actually work? Like for a handmade seller who you found something that works, but the inventory and kind of keeping it there is difficult. Like how do you approach that challenge?
So I have just like entered into the wholesale world as well. So now what I'm trying to do is batch a little bit more. So if I have like 50 of one thing, I'll sit and I'll make 50 of them. I don't keep all my inventory on Etsy either because I do have so many other channels that I'm trying to get into. So that's why I do kind of keep those quantities low on there because I want to know I always have 5 of those in case I get an order from Etsy. But I'm also trying to like make sure I'm on fair.com as well. So I have some other, you know, avenues that I try to just always make sure I have that minimum. Like if they were to buy it, I would have it. If I needed to do more, I probably could. I just don't always have the quantity set as high, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're trying to balance across all the marketplaces. And you said you sell in person as well. So you want to make sure you have things in stock. So, because you never want to be out of stock and...
Right. And I have 7 boutiques that I am in as well right now. So I'm always trying to make sure like I have enough quantity for anything that I need to get to the shops as well.
Have you ever thought about training someone and having them help you scale, like create more inventory?
Yeah, I always keep telling myself right now that I'm not quite right there, because I do a mix of some things that I buy and some things that I do make. Like most all of my earrings and all of that kind of stuff are all handmade by me. But I do bring in some curated pieces as well that, I just love that I might not be able to, just because of the quantities that are going out of the boutiques and things like that. I have to have a higher quantity on the sales floor at all times anyway. So I, there is that mix where I can't put everything, on Etsy and things like that, just because it wouldn't be right. So.
Right, yeah, and so you're mixing between you're making for Etsy and then you're also
Right.
like doing resale and stuff in person and these other places. So
Right, right. So I
interesting.
mix
Okay.
it. Yeah. I
Well,
have a little bit of everything.
that's super cool. So one, and I don't know, Sasha, if you had an avenue that you wanted to go around, but I
We
love the
lost
idea
Julie.
of
Yeah.
scaling.
She'll come back. That's okay.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I was just curious about outsourcing because you think about it, it's like you've created an ingredient that works for a
Yeah.
recipe. You know, you have these
Right.
ingredients, you've created a recipe that sells, and then if you could train someone on the process to create that good, then that's what I've done with my business to scale is
Right.
I'll train to someone and help
Right. And
like.
I guess I keep telling myself, I'm just not there yet. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah.
I at this point I can still kind of keep it to myself, but if I did go more full time, or all of a sudden, Etsy did take off or anything like that, then, if I pulled away from my full time and this was my main focus, then I probably would have to bring some more people in. But at this point, I still feel like I can kind of do it.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
Thank you.
sometimes like, and the interesting thing is Sasha and I got to know each other better because I actually hired her to help us, because I'm like,
Yeah.
wow, this person's a rock star. We met her through our course, ePrintables, and then brought her on. Sometimes when you go through the process of trying to figure out what the other person should do, it helps you realize what in your own processes need to be improved or could be automated or shouldn't exist anymore. Because you're like, wait, why am
Right.
I paying someone to do something that doesn't, you really evaluate it. Like, is this a value add or not?
Right.
Like at the beginning, and I know Sasha knows this, we used to outsource certain pieces of social media, but at the end of the day, that wasn't a huge driver of leads to our business.
Right.
So, the process of kind of going through paying for it is like, oh wait, I actually should think of my own time and the things that I do as valuable, and how do I look at that differently?
Yeah, and
So.
Julie is definitely more apt to just go, I'm going to pay for it and get some help. I know
Right.
that I can turn this into money, that time of that person
Right.
into money. And I'm like yourself, I'm like, but I can do it myself. I can do everything
Right.
myself. It's like a mindset shift, you know? You have to take that leap of faith
Right.
and really understand, see very much into the future of your business, like how I'm going to turn this person's time into money for my own business. And that's why Julie's like, I had to get more organized because I'm wasting money.
Right.
And it's a
I'm at,
balance for
that's
sure.
where I am. The organization part for me is definitely my struggle. So that's this year, I told myself, like, this is the year you have to really take it seriously, because if you don't, then I'm not going to be able to get to that next mindset. So yeah, for sure. That's where I'm
Yes.
at right now.
And I don't necessarily think everyone has to have the same end goal, but just to give everyone an idea of how seriously I take the outsourcing, I have, because I am on this call right now, I'm not devoting my focus to doing my kids' Easter stuff. And I have somebody helping me with cooking. And they're making cake pops with these little Easter bunny molds that I picked up from Michael's, and helping my family with that. So I'm like outsourcing hosting at my house.
Yeah,
And
you outsource way more than I do. But to be fair, I allowed my stepmother-in-law to outsource Easter dinner to me. So we all outsource in our own ways. And
Yes, and
right.
sometimes you're on the receiving end of that, right?
Yes.
Okay, but anyways, enough on the outsourcing. So I wanted to go down this whole witchy thing, crystals, metaphysical, and I'm not in this community myself. I know Sasha, you're probably a little more closer to it, but I always am fascinated by what I see on social media there. So, and I noticed I was trying to find you on social media, and I didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't feel like you had a presence, but that is huge. And it seems like, let's say that best case scenario, you ended up building some sort of personal brand on Meta, Instagram, or TikTok, or something like that. You may not actually be ready to like put up this for sale signs. And let's say you had something go viral, like let's say the cuffs that people really like, you'd be like, oh my God, it would force you to figure it out, but maybe not quite ready. But like creating that personal brand and having people know what you do and follow you and like watch what you're making. And, you know, if you're personally into this community, you will understand what they want to see about like your day to day, like, oh, I did this with my crystals or whatever, your whatever routines you involve yourself with them.
Right.
I feel like that could be a good avenue. How does that feel to you? Are you like, absolutely not? Or were you interested in that?
No, I love it. I think I find myself right now, time is the issue. And again, mm-hmm. like I'm at that crossroads where I don't want to work full time anymore, but like I still have to ish. I'm like right there where I feel like I could break it off. But again, like not the unknown for me is so scary. So for me, I am on social. I do not post regularly. I know that that's like a total downfall. I don't do lives. I definitely don't do that kind of a thing as often as I should. I'm on there like, you know, I have, you know, a small following. It's not ginormous, but I'm not using that as like my main push. And I think for me, it's really just going back to time. I am a mom too. I'm working, you know, full time. I had almost an hour and a half commute to work, and it's a lot. So my time is really bad for that. And I always do try to like, if I'm making something new, I'll post it. Or if I take some time to do like images to post to Etsy or Fair or wherever I'm trying to post, I will try to like do a whole onslaught of like social media posts for that as well. But then if I run out of pictures, I'm like, okay. And then I have to get back to that time where I take a whole bunch more pictures and then I can start posting again. So I would say that's one of my biggest downfalls. And I love that idea that you have about maybe trying to connect a little bit more on a personal level of like, hey, this is my crystal collection and all that kind of good stuff. So yeah, I actually really love that takeaway. Yeah.
And I am so there with you. I mean, I can barely get my act together with social media. I have two little kids. Like it's so difficult. And like, you know, even us preparing to meet each other today, right? Like it was a lot. So I'm so glad that we got in this room to record this. Yeah. But what I will say with the whole outsourcing thing, if you have that full-time job money coming in, this is a great time to spend it versus like the second that I quit, even though I was doing well, I had this... And it was like my usual way of outsourcing and stuff. I had to get back to who I was after a little bit and being like, hey, like I'm consistently an entrepreneur. I'm able to make money for like 6 months before I was able to let go and stop being so scarcity mindset, which is limiting when you're trying to grow your business. Right. So if you have that full-time job money coming in, I don't know like exactly your situation and you got a little bit, this would be a great time to consider like, how could I speed this up? So for example, one way that we do it for printables and also for Gold City Ventures, I don't have time to film my own products. So lately I've been hiring UGC creators, user generated content. And there are these people that specialize in for printables. They print out your stuff and they film it. And I'm sure for like makers, I don't know exactly how it would work. You would ship them your stuff or whatever. And then they film it. And the particular, we've worked with like a bunch of people. I hired some more amateur from my community who were really great just because the, you know, experimenting with different budgets. I hired people that do it more professionally. And they're obviously a little more expensive, but they have studio sets and every holiday, like they have the whole Valentine's Day set up. So the table and all the other stuff, doodads, is all matching. But you could say like, hey, I got my full-time job money. I need videos because you mentioned the videos. There's this other... I don't know if they're a competitor of yours necessarily. Have you heard of like Tanae Gems and Jewels? Have you heard of that account?
No.
So they're an Etsy shop. They have a lot of sales, thousands of sales, but they have listing videos for all of their jewelry. Uh-huh. And it's like the exact same video, like exact same look of kind of yours, but then the video, when you hover over it, it moves and it just shows the person like moving it. So you can kind of see how big it is compared to their hand or whatever. You could do that, film it yourself. You could do it for just your best, you know, whatever your top stuff is, or you could just hire somebody and be like, all right, look, money's going to be out the window, but before you quit, kind of give yourself some presence, some business presence. That's how I kind of like to think about it.
I love it.
Well, even then you could take, if you did the video yourself, you can repurpose that for social media. That's what UGC content creators do, is they'll take all of your existing content, reviews of products, and they turn it into videos for you. And so, and it's a lot That's cheaper. Awesome. I have my husband do stuff for me because he works for me for free. But I have people who do some occasional like graphic design help for me, and it's so much cheaper than I think you think it is before you go into investigating that, because they can easily create like 50 reels from existing content or existing little videos for a small price of money compared to what you've built it up in your mind as being, because there's so many more resources and tools now for the video makers and stuff, content creators to use to repurpose your content. And I like to repurpose content as many different ways as I can, because that saves me time, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's a great idea.
The other stuff, I know in like the niches that I follow, sometimes it's just a person going for a walk, recording their face. They're kind of sweaty. They're kind of winded, but you're like attracted to what they're doing as long as they're in motion. So I think, including myself, I kind of built up, oh, I need to, you know, do all this fancy stuff. And it's like, no, not really. You just got to do it. So now that you have access to Beyond, we put together a 30-day social media challenge. I think we're going to kick that off in May.
Yeah, so we'll do it for myself.
I'm in the same place. Like, I mean, I'm giving advice and then it's so difficult. So I feel for anyone, and I don't want to be on social media, right? Like, you don't necessarily want to share, but at the same time, if you want to grow your business to the next level, I think I love when other people share. I love, you know,
I like
trends.
That you can take an Instagram reel and post it onto Pinterest. So then it's kind of living on Pinterest forever, and then people can find it. Because stuff that I posted 2-3 years ago on Pinterest brings me traffic to my Etsy shop now. So you have to think of all the ways that you can take this content and put it in different places to live and bring you traffic indefinitely. And so I think that social media challenge will help me create new stuff to drive.
Yeah. So I was looking in on just to like talk about specifically when it's like, well, what to post. I mean, on TikTok, you can find who has, you know, we're going to more step-by-step do that in the Beyond program, but you can find who are the people whose content is the most successful. So it's not like you have to think every day, oh, what should I be doing? And we do have for the 30-day challenge, it's going to be like specifically what to post. And then I would just recommend going to see in your niche. So for example, does anyone come to mind when you're like, oh, this person, I would love to model myself after them. Like, I actually want to look up their thing. You're like, oh, I love this, following this person. Or is it just like you get random crystals content every time you're online?
No, I do follow a few people. I don't know if they're going to come to my head. But I do. I have two in mind, and I wouldn't be able to share them right now. Sorry, I can't remember their names.
But do you have any idea?
They come up on my feed all the time. Mal Wingostar, she's one. She's amazing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her. She has a shop on Etsy as well. And she's always just doing the most beautiful things about her family. And she just had a baby. And she's always posting beautiful things. So I do love to follow her. She's one I follow a lot. And then the other one makes the most beautiful jewelry. And her pictures and her videos are just gorgeous. And it's not coming to mind. Zoe, Z-O-E, Creations or something like that. That one. Those are my two faves. I love those. The aesthetics on their posts are beautiful.
I absolutely love that. And at first I used to feel very like depressed, like, oh, why can't I create something like that? And I think with how far iPhones have come, like you can do portrait mode and like go outside in the light, and it's just shocking how much better our photos are from when they were like, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But in this other business that I have a client who's a realtor, and I thought her stuff was so good. I didn't realize like realtors pay people.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They pay the people that the ones that are doing the home tours, they just have them do stuff too. And I'm like, that's so smart. I'm like, why do all these realtors have this stuff that looks so good? It's like, because they're just paying people. So I think on the Etsy seller side, we're a little slow. Those two people, I'm not saying they have like professional videographers, but you know, there are regular professionals in society who aren't like uber wealthy that are hiring this out. So don't be stressed. I mean, you don't need that many. Like, how many products? You didn't have tons of products in your shop. Like, if you, you know, did the top 10, probably wouldn't be too cost effective.
What I would do a video of, which would be super cute, because I like the kind of shops where you're probably putting your jewelry in are probably super cute, and it's a place I would want to go shop. So I would just do a video. I would film myself walking up to my shelf in the shop, like entering da-da-da boutique, and then that gives exposure to that shop. And then when they may repost your video because you're, you know, giving them a shout out. So you could easily do that, and that would be a 10-15 second video.
So not to take a total left turn, but I'm just curious, we've been talking about GIF mode on this podcast. Have you done anything with GIF mode, like made your shop a little more giftable, like adding keywords, or have you noticed any different patterns since GIF mode rolled out around like the time the Super Bowl happened?
I haven't done anything with that, and in fact I really I haven't been following it at all, so no, I can't say.
Okay, well, the TLDR of it is that Etsy created like a new shoppable way to experience Etsy, probably because they're leaning into, hey, people send gifts on Etsy. So let's help them find stuff that could be gifts. But obviously, like in my mind as a data person, there's millions of listings or whatever. How are they going to know what is the most giftable? Like they could look at what people type in and ultimately pick. But if we attach giftable keywords and stuff, then we might help them give our stuff a chance. I feel like at the beginning, they're pretty curating it. Like there's probably some editorial team that's looking at it, but probably eventually.
They add keywords to your listings, because I'm looking at one of her listings right now, mm-hmm. and they added gifts for girlfriend, gifts for mom, gifts for sister as keywords to her listing so that they can target people. Because that tool, you can start your query and go, okay, I want to shop for my girlfriend. It's the user experience of the gift mode. So they've tagged her own products with their internal AI. I don't know how they're scanning the products to assess if this is a gift for an anniversary gift, birthday gift. There's Christmas gift on it. But of course they miss the mark with housewarming gift. I'm not sure why earrings would be a housewarming gift. So they're obviously using AI to scan and tag her stuff, but they've done it to my own things. And with gift mode, they're not showing digital products yet. They're only showing physical. So it works in a physical handmade creator's favor. But if you were to help their algorithm by what Julie just said, adding your own keywords, then you would not only benefit from the keywords that they are tagging to your product, but then you're making it more niche for that buyer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Amber, I want to pivot to talk about Beyond, our program, so that we can selfishly get some of your thoughts.
Yeah, for sure.
And for anyone, I mentioned this at the beginning, but basically Sasha and I and Cody, who's our business partner, we're rolling out a program that will help people go off of Etsy. And we are focusing on the areas of expertise that we have. So we do have a social media section, and Taylor Smith, a lot of the work there was contributed by her. She has over 12,000 sales in her physical sticker shop on Etsy. And she also sells like wholesale. And she's in Florida too, actually. She's running a bunch of businesses with her family down in Florida, but and is a big social media person. So she's kind of contributing some of that content. And then Sasha and I and Cody, like we're more of the data and blogging and podcasting and memberships and that kind of stuff that was in there. And I wanted to give you a chance, Amber, because I think maybe for some makers, that stuff is like, what? Why do I need this? And we want to make it clear like who each of those things are really good for and make sure that we have a clear roadmap. So I just kind of wanted to get your initial thoughts. Like when you think of that type of stuff, are you like, drawn to, you know what, out of it, I'm thinking I want to do a blog, or out of it, I'm thinking maybe a membership, or you want to ask like, why would I need a membership? I think Sasha and I are here to kind of give you ideas on how to utilize some of that if you wanted to.
Yeah, for sure. So in like, as I've been trying to learn and I've done some classes and things like that, they do say like backlinks and blogging and things like that to try to get people back to your funnel and get into your website is important. So for me, one of the biggest takeaways in the first course I really got into with Beyond was the blogging one. And I thought it was really, really well laid out, like all the things you guys told us where to go and how to start and all that. So I really listened to that one probably first. That one was really important to me. I still have some questions around it, like how to use it. Like what would I even write about again? And that's like where the time thing comes in. So, but I really liked that one. And really the whole Beyond system so far, I found it very easy to navigate. So I definitely loved it. I felt like there was actually a lot of ideas in there already for maybe people that want to make extra money and they don't know what route to take. Like you could literally, like you were saying in there, do a blog and profit off of that as well. So that was really cool. So that was probably like my main thing that I was into was the blogging portion. And I really liked all the information on like building the email list and things like that. I thought that was super helpful as well.
Cool. Yeah. Cause I think like the two things that stick out is one is the easy thing. Like you mentioned, you're doing a lot of in-person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you like putting out a QR code and saying like, join my email list? Cause getting those people or like, hey, you get, I don't want to, I'm not big on discounts, but like if you have,
give me your email for 20% off. Let's go there. Whatever you got to do to get that.
Little like bookmark. I don't know if it's like a cool bookmark. Yeah. You can grab a bookmark if you give me your email or something. Right. You have to think through what they actually would give you your email for. But I'm like, gosh, you're in person in so many places. Like these people know who you are. They like you. You can chit chat with them for 5 seconds. If you had a social media that was interesting where they could follow your life of like, hey, yeah. doing this in Florida and, you know, I'm doing whatever spiritual thing that I'm into, metaphysical, right. they're going to eat it up because they clearly are into that too.
Right.
But you're not really giving them a chance to ever see you again unless they come back to that store.
Right. Right. And again, I think it goes back to just how much time I'm putting in right now. I am still making, I'm not outsourcing. So like my time, like my days off, I literally am making in the morning and then running to the boutiques to stock. So I do feel like I have to get better at that. My biggest issue, I don't have an email list really, which kills me because after 5 years, I could have a great email list. And that's just not something that I focused on. So that was why I went to that part of it in the training to kind of see like, what am I not doing right? And I did go after it for a little while. But then after I got the names, I was kind of unsure like what to do with them, how to get them into a system. So I don't really have like a system right now where I can like MailChimp or anything like that set up where I could do that. So again, I am trying to focus a little bit more on that this year because I do know that that's basically how everyone's building their business is through emails right now and things like that besides social media.
Yeah. And that's where, like, let's say I wanted to do this, I would hire somebody to, hey, can you make me a QR code? And, you know, I want it done by Saturday. And I would hire it. But that being said, like, I'm so comfortable with that. So maybe that's something Sasha.
I'll make you a template and we'll get you set up.
Yeah.
Oh, let's put you. Code in Canva.
Yeah. We'll hook you up. We'll hook you up with that. And actually, like, as we do beyond, you know, this is why it's so helpful, right? Because we're hearing from you of like, okay, this is what's stopping me from doing this. So we're like, we have a team that can do it, or we can come up with a template so we can help people more at scale and stick it in there.
That's
so
awesome.
Any like feedback you have, you're in there now. So thank you for helping us. And we'd love to help you see if we can get done. And similarly, like we're going to talk, you might run into, well, what do I put in the emails? And we're going to get into more detail of like what to actually
sequences
put,
so, and copy.
Awesome. But that sounds so okay. So the email thing, that's the first thing. And right now, just telling people when you have like new products or even putting out like a monthly, like, hey, you know, here's what I'm up to. I've been working on this new bracelet and I'm really inspired. Like you were saying, like I'm into shells this year. Like people who follow you will think that's cool.
Yeah. And I'm like, I need a shell necklace. I want one.
We're so close to the water here, so we got to utilize the beach vibes.
We need the shell necklace before she goes to Florida on vacation.
We'll trade for a QR code. How about that?
So this is random, but like, so I turned 35 this year, and I decided that was a big number, so I was going to turn 17 again and divide it by two. Even though it's not exactly 17. So I hosted a 2006 party with my friends. And I told everyone they had to wear outfits from 2006. So it was a lot of like where I'm from, it was like American Eagle that people wore or whatever, whatever the thing, the mall store was. But one of my friend's husbands wore like a puka shell necklace. Remember those from back then? And I was like, oh, like it's coming back. Like the shells are coming back. That's all I'm thinking of when you say that. But I think you're thinking more of like the nature kind of fairy.
Boho stuff,
boho style.
Well, naturally, will say one of my biggest things is, and that why I really like Beyond, and I hope that that will help me, is technology. So you guys are so well-versed in that, and I'm a maker, and I think a lot of people in the maker world are so stuck in that I make things, I sell things, but what else do I need to do? And that is where like the clash is coming and where I need so much more support and help is the technology side. There's so much I don't know. I don't even understand, you know, like how to get people to the website that I just made and all of that. So for me, I feel like that's why I think Beyond will be very helpful. All of your knowledge will help us as makers rise more.
Well, continue to tell us what you want because that helps us fill in any gaps. I know you're very early, so you probably go in and like everything's moving from the night before, but we're in there making changes. So, okay, the last thing I wanted to say, and I know we're going to be right on time here, with the blogging, because for anyone listening, they might miss like the why on this. So yes, it could drive leads that you're bringing in, you're kind of owning end to end. You're not showing them competitors on Etsy or whatever. You're owning the whole experience and you're driving the true blog. But also the way that I use blogging is that I make money recommending other people's products. And if you could make, if you're someone like you, where you sell in such a tight niche, like all your stuff kind of makes sense that it's in the same shop. If your blog is like the everything interesting for the person that buys that stuff, like, you know, we're mentioning the crystals metaphysical, that person might also be interested in other things that you don't sell but now you've talked about it or recommended it or whatever. And then when they make that purchase, you earn a commission. And it also helps Google realize that your shop is about one thing. So they continue to kind of put it up.
You're the authority on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for bachelorette parties, I still make money from this old blog that I barely even post on, but I made like a few strategic posts. And when people are looking for like the best matching t-shirts in Nashville for bachelorettes, they're going through, they're clicking my recommendations. I don't sell t-shirts for bachelorette parties, but you know, they're buying 15 at one time. And those commissions add up over time. So, you know, this is, we're not telling the average seller to do 8 different things. It's like there's a lot of different ways that you can make money. And I think where we can get better and beyond is coming up with a little bit more of like a step-by-step. Like for you right now, it sounds like just get that QR code in person and maybe figure out like your inventory and try the personal brand. Like that's kind of what I would, that's probably more than enough homework. But, you know, if you ultimately were like, oh, I want to also have this online destination where I'm going to write about, hey, I just bought this really awesome like tarot set and I'm like obsessed with it and review it, then anyone looking to purchase that also could stumble upon your blog, make a purchase, and you earn the commission. And then here, now you have an additional revenue stream coming in.
Roundup posts on blogs are a really easy win to create content. And you can become an affiliate for Etsy, and then you can curate a list of like the 10 best boho gifts for her for Mother's Day. And then it's just, you're putting your affiliate links for all those 10 products. It's a roundup post and it's very simple. And that's a great way to make money. I do review videos on YouTube for products that I know, like, and trust. And that's a great source of affiliate income for me. And that's me really just repurposing content. I always think, how can I repurpose a topic? I go, it'll be a blog post, it'll be a video, and then it'll be something I repost on the Medium. And so then I'm taking the same idea and putting it in multiple places. And that's how you can save a lot of time as someone who doesn't have a lot of time. And that's how I've been able to diversify to 8 income streams. It's not as hard as it seems, because you create these formulas and you just wash, rinse, repeat and do it over and over again.
Yeah. And the same keywords on Etsy, maybe will also apply in the blog. Like we talked, so I was looking at your shop and this other person's, and Moon Gifts it said it had 4,000 searches a month. Witchy Gifts had like, or Witchy had like 3,000 something. Also, there was a lot of like Zodiac birthstone. I didn't think you got into any of that, but obviously like gifting, people think, oh, this person was born in this month, like this is, or, you know, into Zodiac, whatever. Right. Those could be avenues you could explore, whether it was through your own personal brand, blog, whatever. Okay, cool. So I think
love it. Thank you.
We got a lot of ideas here. Amber, you are such like a nice person for helping us with this. And thank you for everyone who's listening, and Sasha for co-hosting. Sasha's going to be helping me the next three, because we're going to do a series of with 3 Etsy sellers who sell 3 different or 4 different things. So everyone stay tuned for those. Those are going to go live next week. And Amber, if you have anything you want to reach out to us about, feel free to do so. Thanks for coming today.
And thanks you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.